It's time again for the Scotty Johnny Podcast with your host, Scotty Johnny himself, John Barnett, and the ego himself, Cheddar Talk, Aaron Flottam. Talking Wisconsin sports, two mics, two crusty vets, two opinions, one based in reality and one based in what he read on Twitter. With music by Duluth Greats, Cars and Trucks, here's John and Aaron.
Welcome, welcome, one and all. Welcome into the Scotty Johnny Podcast. I am your not-so-humble host, Jonathan Barnett, and with me, as per usual, is Aaron Flottam. How are you, Aaron? Hey,
good, John. I got the microphone back this week. How about that?
It's always good to not be on a phone for a little bit and to try to get our groove back to the way we normally have things.
For 1 week, but you're going to get me on the phone for the next 2 weeks because, hey, annual training in January in Iowa. It's going to be great. You know, it's just potentially the two most important weeks of the Packer season, and I'll just be on a phone line just watching the game on my phone somewhere. But
you know. Well, there's worse places to be. Anyhow, thank you for joining us again this week. You can always follow the show on Twitter at Scotty Johnny Pod. You can also follow me at Not So Humble Host. Aaron, if people wanted to follow you on Twitter, where would they do that?
They would follow me at Cheddar Talk, at Cheddar Talk. Blowing up right now about some comments I made about the Golden Globes last night. And I didn't even try to, but
Awesome. So Cheddar Talk, that's good.
Oh, sorry. I just got caught up in that picture of Selma Hayek from the Golden Globes again last night. Anyways.
Great. All right, everybody.
Anyways, moving along.
Been a fantastic little bit here. We've got some interesting things to talk about. We've got a little bit of news, and we'll get started with everything, starting off here with our main event.
Starting things off with the main event.
All right, Aaron. So the first thing we want to talk about this week, we don't normally start with this, but we're going to start with Badgers. We're going to start with the Rose Bowl and kind of what ended up happening there this week. So didn't go how we predicted, I guess. It didn't go how things had been planned. The Badgers did everything they could to give this game away. And there were a lot of frustrating referee calls, a lot of very weird ways that things were called. They were called differently for one team as opposed to the other. And just inconsistent. And some of them terrible. And they affected the game. But I'll say this again. As I said on Twitter, they only affected the game because the Badgers didn't play well enough to make sure the refs didn't have an effect on the game.
Right.
The Badgers...
As is usually the case, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, like, the refs affect the games in close games where, you didn't do enough. And the Badgers didn't do enough.
Ask the Saints about that yesterday.
Yeah, right. It's a sort of thing where the Badgers had several chances to just lock this game down early, to just put this thing away, and they did not, and they turned the ball over. Jonathan Taylor had a fumble. There was the one interception at one point, which in all honesty was an illegal hands to the face as the ball went wide because they're hitting him across the face as he's throwing, and no whistle, no flag, nothing. And that led to a touchdown. So that one play could have swung the entire thing around if they'd only made the correct call. But still, right. Just don't turn the ball over four times. If they'd have turned it over three times, they'd have won the game.
Right.
And so that's the frustrating part when you're watching this thing is
the fact that the Badgers were still kind of in it at the end is amazing because of how many times they turned the ball over. It was a very hard game to watch. I'm not as big a Badger fan as you are, as has been discussed on this podcast, but because it's not my alma mater and I didn't grow up on the southern part of the state. But, I still get up for games, but it was a hard watch. Like, it was literally like watching your uncle shoot both feet off at the hunting cabin. Not just once, but
literally like that.
I shot my one foot off. Now I'm going to turn my foot around and shoot my other foot off. Like, it's literally like watching that. It's like they couldn't do anything right.
Jeez.
And it was not good. And Taylor never got going. So,
and Taylor didn't have a terrible game. I mean, he had an okay game in terms of just sheer numbers of it. It just he didn't ever dominate it at a single point. And the thing is, a couple of them, he had a couple big runs that came back on slightly phantom holding calls. So, you know, that's one thing there. At the end of the day, and you have to say it this way, yeah, there were calls that were bad calls, and they affected the outcome of this game. But at the end of the day, I'm not going to listen to anyone who said it was anything other than that the Badgers allowed those calls to have an effect on the game. Because, seriously, if the Badgers just don't turn the ball over four times, they win. It, you know, regardless of anything else, they have to not play the most undisciplined game they'd played all year.
I mean, what was the penalty thing, too? Like, they had a pretty large amount of penalty. What was it, nine? Did they have
they
nine?
They had nine. And nine. Oregon had
four penalties and four turnovers and nine penalties, and you only lost by one. That means if you play a half-discipline game, you win by two scores.
Yeah.
Like, you barely lost, and you played a terrible game.
I think I put this out on Twitter, and I can't remember the number exactly right now, but the Badgers were the 14th in terms of being least penalized in the country this year in penalties per game. And Oregon was something like 92nd or 96th. And in this game, Oregon had two and we had nine.
Right.
So, I mean, it was a little crazy, but yeah.
And the conspiracy theorists, too, that'll say that, you know, West Coast bias with the Oregon team. I'm not going to buy it because, you know what, I watched that game with the rest of you. And luckily, since I'm not a huge Badger fan, I don't look through red and white glasses when I watch a game. I pretty much just watch a game.
Cardinal and white.
And there we go. All right. Yes. Cardinal and white glasses. Like, I watched it. And yeah, maybe there was a little bit more like a little bit of favoritism and not favoritism, but the calls favored Oregon a little bit more. But it wasn't egregious at all. I mean, it wasn't horribly bad. It wasn't like completely like the refs are stealing this game from the Badgers. It was like, well, that was actually a penalty, and maybe there were some phantom and maybe there were some miss, but I mean, well, it wasn't bad enough. It didn't overshadow the fact that the Badgers were just playing like crap.
That's the main point. So, it didn't overshadow any of that. It didn't take away from the fact that the Badgers played terribly. But I mean, like, the Gophers, or how do you say the Gophers, the Ducks, another stupid worthless animal that is only good for being shot. they had one drive extended for a defensive holding that was just absolutely phantom. Absolutely, yeah. Phantom. And yeah. I mean, Oregon players are doing that all day to Quintez Cephas, and not once was it called. It's not right. So much that they were favoritism, but it was called inconsistently, right, and on a regular basis. And a lot of the inconsistency went against the Badgers. I don't think the refs did it because they don't like the Badgers.
No.
I think they just had some bad calls, and those bad calls happened to go against Wisconsin.
And people watch so much of the NFL, they kind of forget that sometimes, and college referees are a little bit more inconsistent than,
yes,
NFL referees are, yeah, who are wildly inconsistent as it is. You know, there's a lot of rules to remember. And in college, they're not professional. Well, I mean, in the NFL, they're not exactly professional referees. They have side jobs because they're allowed to have side jobs. They could live off their NFL,
yes,
salary. But, I mean, college referees actually have other jobs because they have to have other jobs, you know. So it's – I mean, college refs are more wildly inconsistent. You just don't notice it as much because there's much more – they're way more lopsided games in college. There's not as many close.
That's true.
Close games in college. When your team's up 56-0 in the third quarter, the referee can completely blow a call on a defensive pass interference, and you don't care, you know. But those games just don't happen in the NFL. NFL games, especially nowadays, a blowout is so rare, and with HD TV and ultra high definition, and now 8K coming out with Samsung, like, you can see everything close up. Like, and scores in the NFL are usually within a touchdown or two.
Yeah.
You know, college, you just don't notice that the referees are less consistent in college. They are less consistent in college, and they get shaken just like the players do in big games because they're worried about making the wrong call. Because 3 months ago, they were at Appalachian State doing a cupcake game and nobody was watching. And now 5 million people are watching every single move they make.
Well, I don't know about this one because, I mean, the way they do this is it's usually Power 5 refs at Power 5 games. So these were Big 12 refs at this game.
Well, I'm just saying, let's say Iowa State was playing Appalachian State was playing Iowa State. That's a Big 12 team, and so nobody cares, you know, right? So and so there's the 60,000 people in the stadium and maybe 100,000 people watching on TV, right?
Right.
And this is a much bigger stage. 100,000 people and 5 to 10 million people on TV. I mean, that's, you know.
Yeah. So yeah, it's different, and the refereeing was upsetting. It was frustrating to watch, but that's not what ended the game for the Badgers. It was the fact that we had 4 turnovers that ended up costing them points. And that's the most frustrating part, is that the Badgers had this one. They were the better team on every other statistic other than the final score and the turnovers. I mean, they outgained them. Their defense was better. They had more sacks. They had more everything except for the turnovers and the final score. And the final score is the thing that matters.
And their quarterback didn't play exceptionally well. That's what bothered me the most at the end of the game is how they were. What was the kid's name? I forget the kid's name.
Justin Herbert.
They were like, "Oh, it's a keystone to the end of his career." I'm like, he had a couple good running plays. He didn't
play that well. I mean,
his touchdown run was a great play. I mean, it was a great running quarterback play, but he didn't dominate the game. It's not like he went up there and tore the Badgers apart. And they were celebrating it as, this is the keynote win, and this is going to get him drafted. And it's like, no, that looked terrible.
It was a game where the big point was that the Badgers didn't care if he ran. That was part of their game plan, is they're like, well, we're not afraid of him running. And he made some runs. But nobody in the NFL is going to draft him for his feet based on that game.
Oh, no. His speed was okay. But if his speed was matched.
But he didn't throw.
If he was like Jake Allen and that was matched with a dynamite arm, then go ahead, take a shot at him. But he doesn't have the passing to go with it. I mean, he's as fast. That's what I'm saying. He's like as fast as Jake Allen. Jake Allen's okay fast. Yeah. You know, but that's also matched with the fact that you can't just sell out on him running, because guess what? He can tear a 70-yard pass down the field, or Rodgers. Rodgers isn't necessarily – has never been
I think Rodgers is a much better runner than what we saw from Herbert this week.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. But Rodgers is fast. He's not lightning fast. He's not Lamar Jackson. He's not RG3. He's not Michael Vick. He's fast enough to – Carson Wentz is fast. There you go. There's a good
yeah.
Carson Wentz is just fast enough, not to get away from Jadeveon Clowney, but just fast enough to make the defenses have to respect him running downfield, you know.
You're going to draw on Philadelphia fans Herbert, this week. It's going to be great.
Which Herbert has that kind of that speed, but he doesn't have an arm like Wentz does or decision-making ability. He was not the hero of the game that he was played out to be at the end. It's just that they needed a hero, and in a sloppy game, I guess he's the hero of the game. So
the things that actually did frustrate me about this was that, the call where was it? Fayon Hicks ended up going out and hitting the quarterback after he got in the end zone. And you're like, that was a dumb play on the Badgers' part. Right. It should have been flagged. I have no problem with that.
Right.
But Ducks players had been doing that for about a half of football at that point.
Yeah.
They got chippy early. And there was one play where, I'm forgetting, was it Gurren? I forget the guy. They had like a little end around type play or a little jet sweep action. And it got to the end. It got out of bounds. And the guy's out of bounds. He stops, gets the ball to the ref, turns, and he's walking back. Oregon player who's still on the ground, like, pulls his leg out from under him and knocks him to the ground, and nothing. Not a thing. And then they started a fight. Players left the bench area to come onto the field, and nothing happened. Nothing happened. That was ridiculous. I'm not necessarily as mad at the refs as I'm saying Oregon's a bunch of punks. Like, seriously, that's ridiculous. The way that they played, they were a classless organization. I've lost a lot of respect for that team during that game. They deserve to win based on the play on the field, but, man, just the fact that they went out and hit guys out of bounds, that they came off the bench to start talking trash. There were by the way, on national television, several N-words thrown around if you were paying attention. So it got ugly out there. So, yeah, that part was frustrating.
Which N-word? Neighbor?
Neighbor.
Nice guy.
Come on, neighbor.
Come on, neighbor. Get over here, nice guy.
Knock you down, neighbor. Anyhow, there was a little bit of good news for Badgers fans this week, though, coming off of that game. Waiting for the All-American Bowl, I think it's the one that's still sponsored by the Army.
In the Army.
For a bunch of people who are going to college, somewhere where a college will pay for their tuition rather than the Army.
First to fight for your right and to build the Army, and the Army goes rolling along.
Right. Anyhow. As good as the Engineer song, if you still remember that one.
Because I didn't get the lobotomy and have the chip placed in my head.
Sound out the battle cry. Seance. We're win or die. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, stupid French.
There's nothing that we won't try. We're the US Army Corps of Engineers.
Yeah. Did you learn that at Bullock?
I don't know.
Because I've never had to learn that song. I've seen it.
We had to do it at Basic.
Before. I have. Really? I didn't have to do it at Basic. Oh, well, were you a 12 Bravo?
Yes.
Okay. I was, you got to remember, what's now a 12 November equipment operator. I was 62 Echo back then. Yeah. But
we're just dumb. They just told us to sing songs.
I mean, I have the DeFleury Medal, the Engineer Regimental Medal. Huh. I've been awarded that. I don't know the Engineer song at all. It's like, why would I know that? I have a recording of it somewhere.
No joke. I do.
Yes, yawns into the wild blue yonder.
That is not it.
That is not. From the halls of Montezuma to the streets of Leonard Wood.
That's close.
Close, is that better? Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know what the Navy song is either, because who cares?
What was the one that they convinced my TAC officer or my TAC NCO at Officer Basic that the apparently at his basic they convinced him that the Engineer song was We are the Army Engineers. We can demolish 40 beers. And I was like, nope, that's not it.
I remember being taught that when I got
that
back
one,
to my
yes.
We are the Army Engineers. We can't demolish 40 beers.
Back to the Wisconsin Badgers, though.
Yeah, I can't do the rest of it because it's too dirty.
It gets long very quickly. We did get another commitment to the Badgers class for next year, and it's Jalen Berger. Comes from Don Bosco High School. He's a running back, a four-star running back, ranked around 10 or 11, depending on who you're looking at. Mm-hmm. And one of the best parts for me, and I shared a photo of it, after he announced at the All-American game that he was going to be joining the Badgers, two four-star offensive tackles who were also playing in that game came over and got pictures with him and said, "We got you. Welcome to the family." Because the Badgers have two tackles and a running back who are in the All-American game.
Right.
And 10 years ago...
Are those the two tackles from Wisconsin, by the way?
I'm trying to remember where they're both from. One of them I know for sure is, and he's one of them.
I want to say they're both from Wisconsin, like from the state of Wisconsin. Sorry, but yeah, obviously they're from Wisconsin.
I think one's from Stoughton, and I can't remember the other one.
Like Waukesha, maybe. Yeah,
something like that. Yeah, I think they might be.
I heard it on the Big 1070 down in Madison. I want to say they're both. They were the two top recruits in the state of Wisconsin overall. Yeah.
And we also got the top recruit in the state of Minnesota.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
Yes, suck on that, PJ Fleck. If it's not North Dakota State stealing your players, it's Wisconsin.
Jeez. All right, so that's really all we have for Badger football.
I wanted to bring it up about that. Hey, just dream situation, though. So this Jalen Berger kid's coming in. So who's starting running back next year? Is Dial still around?
I'm sorry, who?
Who do we got next year playing?
Watson. Watson's still going to be back. I believe he'll be a true sophomore.
Okay, what is it?
Nikhil Watson.
Watson. Yeah. Sorry, I'm a year off there. So what's the hype on him? Is he, I mean, I don't know. I've seen him in scrub time, but Is he going to be a powerhouse back or what?
He's going to be good. He's not going to be Jonathan Taylor, but he looked good when they had him in there. He's got he's got good power, and he's got I mean, like, he looked like he belonged. He definitely looked like a Big Ten running back. I think they're going to get some share on that.
Because, I mean, Taylor looked good his freshman year too, but I mean, these college kids, you know, very rarely outside of like the Trevor Lawrences of the world and some other people that can come and just be true freshmen and just really kill it. Like, most of them don't look good until their sophomore year. Hence the reason why redshirt in football is so big, because I mean, these kids aren't even at their prime for size yet. So I'm just doing a dream scenario here. So we got Jalen Berger and two top tackles and Graham Mertz coming off a redshirt year. So Mertz is probably going to play next year. What do you think? He's got to, right?
I think he's going to definitely have the competition there, and I think he's got the inside edge because I think he's better. So right. I think he's probably going to come out of spring camp as the starter.
Right. So I'm saying next year might not be the best, but my God.
Yeah.
Well, year after that, we've got probably some of the best talent that Wisconsin's seen collaboratively on offense in a while.
Well, the additions here from the adding Berger moved Wisconsin top 25 on every single thing, 23 to 25, depending on which site you're on. And, right. And here's the two offensive tackles, the two best players on our list, Trey Wettig, and he's from Kettle Moraine, and Jack Nelson's the guy from Stoughton I was talking about.
Yeah, Kettle Moraine is Stoughton.
Trey Wettig. My goodness, that kid is 6'8", 320. He's 18 years old.
I wasn't wrong with Waukesha. Wales is Kettle Moraine's in Wales.
In Wales,
Kettle Moraine is in Wales, and it's right next door. So yeah,
that is huge. He is the 70th. Ranked 70th nationally. Nationally, he's the 70th ranked player, not offensive tackle, player. Jack Nelson, the 148th ranked player in the nation from Stoughton. That dude is 6'7". 273. These are 18-year-olds.
Jesus. Well, and then Berger is just the ESPN grade. He's 158th in the ESPN 300. And, yeah. Hey. And, again, like I said, too, and we talked about this during the pregame, Jalen Berger, New Jersey, just like Taylor and Ron Dane. And we went through this before, too, and I'm sure there's another New Jersey running back in there that we're missing that – you know, because we're going through them all, and like Gordon Moss, what's his name for the Vikings, Bennett.
Michael Bennett.
All came from Wisconsin. James White came from
Florida. Thomas Aquinas Academy.
Yeah. So, but yeah, that New Jersey pipeline. And it's like you said that Ron Dane's kid is playing at Wanakee. I wonder if Ron Dane and Taylor don't have some sort of influence to get Berger in here from New Jersey, because I mean, this is potentially the third great running back that we're getting out of New Jersey.
Yeah.
So it's awesome. I like it.
It is fantastic. Going with Jonathan Taylor as well. Well, we'd be remiss to not point out that Jonathan Taylor has declared for the draft as everybody expected.
Duh.
Surprising nobody. Also Quintus Cephas.
This podcast called that prior to the season even starting, and said he would be dumb, barring an early season injury that would maybe affect his draft status, which no Badger fan should have cheered for.
No.
But, he was gone this year. The first, who are the other two running backs that had 2,000-yard rushing seasons, back-to-back 2,000-yard rushing seasons?
I'm forgetting off, you know, at all. I can't remember who they had.
Yeah, he's
Davis. Davis from Iowa State. I forget what Davis, though. Not Terrell.
Was Tony Dorsett the other one?
Possibly. Oh, I guess I don't know. The only one they showed was Terrell is the only other guy like that. But, yeah, no, you can't fault these guys. They definitely should go. Quintus Cephas, I'd give a comp of saying he's a lot like Anquan Boldin. He doesn't have world-beater speed, but he's fast enough, and he's going to get open. He's a great route runner. And he has incredible hands, just incredible strong hands. If that ball's up and it's fought for, he's coming away with it. So I think that that's somebody, seriously, if he's available in the second or third round for the Packers, I would be so excited to see him playing in green and gold.
Well, and I so so he did commit to the draft that Cephas did.
Yes, today.
Yeah, I really did not see him coming back to Madison after all the other stuff that happened. Just saying.
Yeah, still. But
Tony as much Dorsett, as we would love, was he the other one?
I don't know. You asked me already. I didn't look it up.
I'm looking it up right now. Okay. Anyways, you
continue. We'll say this, though. We would love to see Quintus Cephas in green and gold. And speaking of the green and gold, this last week we figured out who the Packers are going to be playing at Lambeau Field in the divisional round. And that will be the Seattle Seahawks, which is turning into a near annual affair, it feels. Obviously, the Packers have missed the playoffs in two consecutive years. So it's nice to get back to having something like this and having a game like this. And it's nice to have it at home, because this series goes much more in our favor if we're at home.
Right.
Yeah, Russell Wilson's numbers, they're skewed from the fact that he had a 5-interception game, obviously. Mm-hmm. But it's nice to catch him at home. There's a lot of people who are rooting for the Vikings this week, and I guess I don't understand it, because here was my thought, and I think I expressed it last week, and I didn't go back to listen. But you know, I've said it to several other people, and I said it online, and I texted my brothers about this and all, and I was like, I'd almost rather play New Orleans now, because I think Seattle's the only team that could have beaten the 49ers. And the only team I don't want to play is San Francisco on the road. That's the only thing I'm afraid of. I'm not as afraid of playing, because playing Seattle at home in the NFC title game is way better than playing them there now.
It's a weird thing, too, because like, I didn't see it coming. And I even tweeted it out yesterday that
none of those are words, but okay.
It was coming to the Saints Vikings game was coming to a close. I was like, yeah, whatever, let Minnesota win, whatever, I don't care, like, get the Saints out of there, you know. But then, like, as it was dawning on me, as Seattle, especially after Carson Wentz got knocked out, I was like, oh, not Seattle, because weird things happen with Seattle. We've said that not just as Packer fans, but all season long. Like, weird things happen with Seattle. They've got some really good players in some positions. They're hurting in a lot of positions now, especially running back. But now all of a sudden, Marshawn Lynch has regained his, you know, he's got lightning in a bottle from 2012 again now. God forbid beast mode gets turned on. You know, and did you see who their two running backs were yesterday?
Well, beast mode and Homer.
And Turbin.
Oh, yeah, Turbin's back there, too.
They brought him back, too, and I'm like, oh, great, it's 2013 again. And I'm like, it's the same team. But and Bobby Wagner's playing at Hall of Fame level. Like, well, it's great. Weird. Yeah, no, he's always been good. I love
he's fantastic.
Love Bobby Wagner's a really good player. And then all of a sudden I got to thinking, I was like, God, I'm like, I almost wish we had the Saints now at home, like, especially after watching them
crater. I think crater is one of the big words.
S the bed yesterday against the Vikings.
Wet the bed,
right? We can say that, yeah. That was weird. And and then I'm sitting there thinking, and then with, like, when Wentz went down too, I was like, yeah, whatever, bring the Eagles back. They snuck away with a win in what was that, week 4 or 5 or whatever it was on Thursday night. It was just weird that the Packers didn't play well. And I was like, yeah, whatever, bring them back. Well, now we got to beat Seattle twice at Lambeau Field this year.
We didn't play them this year.
Oh, that's right. No, I'm confused.
Yeah, you're thinking of other seasons.
No. I was thinking of other things, but yeah.
The thing is either way, after the Vikings won, we were going to play an injured team. We were going to play, right. I mean, the Eagles are doing it with a 42-man roster or something, because just nobody's out there left.
Right.
And Seattle is just down a number of running backs and down a number of linemen, and that lineman depth was very thin for the Seahawks just recently. They lost their right tackle, was it the left tackle? Either way. They don't have depth to lose. They aren't already any good on that front line anyhow. So, it's a rough go.
And it's a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation, because if the Packers win, you want them to have home field advantage. That'll mean that they'll have to beat the Vikings for the third time this year, Or they have to go to San Francisco, where they got demolished earlier this year.
Yeah, I guess you almost rather play the Vikings, because I don't think we can beat San Francisco.
Not at San Francisco, not the way they played out there before. But then again, then you have to bite the Vikings for the third time.
Which somebody put this up on Twitter today. Apparently teams that sweep the season series of two games with the division foe and play each other again have like a 67% winning percentage.
Well, the Packers did it that one year. Well, no, they lost to the Vikings. That's the Adrian Peterson game where he didn't break the record. That's right, they lost, and then they won the next week. Okay, against that Joe Webb, that quarterback. Yeah, but I mean, it really is a damned if you do, damned if you don't. Either you have to beat the Vikings for the third time at home, or you have to go to San Francisco. And frankly, good for the Vikings. We always knock them for never winning the big game. They won the big game yesterday, and they played a hell of a game, and it was a hell of an ending. That push off by Rudolph, whatever. You know what?
Yeah.
I heard people say, well, that's the reason why they changed the rule, was because the year before. Well, you know what? If you call that penalty on Rudolph, guess what else? Now you're pandering to the Saints, because they complained so much at the end of last season. So the Vikings played a really good game. I really have a hard time thinking that they're going to get out of San Francisco. San Francisco is really good.
That team is really good. And I think they're going to the Super Bowl. I'd love to be pleasantly surprised by the Packers beating them, but I don't see how that happens. Yeah. No, I don't know.
Well, and the other thing is, too, is that if the Vikings beat the San Francisco, then you're going to have that crazy wild card team that's on a tear.
Yeah.
Like the Packers were when they won the Super Bowl. You don't want that crazy wild, that road wild team on a tear.
Yeah.
Because that's the problematic team that are just playing with house money, and they're hyped, and they're just rolling town to town, taking teams out. That's a problem too. So, I mean, either you're going to get a hyped up Vikings team that would love nothing more than to crush the Packers in the NFC Championship game, or you got to go to San Francisco.
Yeah. That would be like Packers playing an NFC title game in Chicago. Wait, I saw that one. I saw that one. That didn't go well for them. I'm sorry. That one went great for us.
Right.
But in that scenario,
right, but that's
us.
What I'm saying.
Yeah.
They're us, and we're the Bears at that point. You're right, exactly. It's a terrible scenario for the Packers. Like, and then if the Vikings ever win a Super Bowl, I mean, good for Kirk Cousins. I actually felt good for him yesterday, because they won the game legitimately, and it was okay. And Kirk has a bad rap, and the Vikings have always been knocked for never winning the big game, and they won a big game. And that's, I don't care about any of them. I swear to God, it's the only time I've ever seen the Vikings win a big game. So let them have their game. I just hope they lose to San Francisco. And I don't know.
I mean, if we lose the next week in that one, I'll care a lot less than if we lost and sent the Vikings to a Super Bowl.
Right.
So, I mean, yeah. I don't know. I really would have rather played the Saints and let the Seahawks go play the 49ers, because there's the better chance that we could have been playing the Seahawks a week later in Lambeau than we have a chance of playing in Lambeau against the Vikings in that NFC Championship game. So, yeah. But I don't know. We have not done well going to the West Coast, so we'll have to see how that goes.
We did that one time when Craig Newsom had that huge pick, but we were in like high school when that happened.
The separation. I only mean this year, because the track record with our 1 year coach is pretty short. And I'm just trying to say that based on a single year of having
Le Fleur does not travel well west.
Yeah, he's gone west twice to LA and San Francisco, and whatever the game plan is, whatever the situation is there, he has not fared well going that far west.
Right.
So maybe he's worked some things out. I don't know. I couldn't say. I don't have any confidence in winning that one. I think we could beat Seattle, because Seattle's run game is the thing that they've relied on heavily.
Right.
DK Metcalf has been very good. He was the last pick of the second round. I think that's fair for him to have been. And we went on Twitter, like, and you said it too. You're like, oh, you thought he'd be a bust. And I was like, no. Yeah, and probably some people did. I think a lot of people thought he'd be a bust. But I think he's a guy who has enough talent to do a lot of things. And the big thing is that he needed to be put in a proper situation. And you couldn't pick him first round. You couldn't put that pressure on him.
Yeah.
I think having him be the last pick of the second round is great. or early third round was fine. That's where you say, yeah, I got a lot of talent. Let's draft somebody I can develop. And I think he goes very well with Russell Wilson because it allows him to break off routes and just be athletic. Like, just run down. Russell isn't going to throw the ball within 3 seconds in a lot of cases. And you need to be the guy who's going to break off the route and run. And that's fine. Well, that's great.
And the other thing that he's proving that nobody even talked about is he's a great downfield blocker.
He's a big dude, yeah.
Yeah, because he's as big as a guard downfield, and he can just push cornerbacks on their butts. Yeah, he is what he is, and yeah, it's just
they had him projected going to the Packers in the first round ahead of like AJ Brown, who by the way was great, and Marquise Brown, who by the way was great. Those guys were great rookie wide receivers as well. Mm-hmm. So I mean, I'd rather have AJ Brown, but you know he did great with Tennessee. He's still playing too. And, yeah, I mean, he had – I looked it up. I mean, DK Metcalf had – I forget my catches, but he had like 900 yards. He had a very nice rookie year.
Yeah, he did.
And they understand how to use him. And I think Seattle's good at doing things like that. Just they draft some athletic freaks and then just find a way to do something. I don't know that he – I think he would have failed in New England.
Right.
Because New England is precision and short, and you got to run your route. And I don't think he's good at that. I don't think he would have played to his strengths. And I think New England knew that.
And Seattle was run around until somebody's open. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's different. So I think it's a good setup for him, plays to his strengths. Packers are going to be trying to find a way to – I think the good thing for the Packers is our safeties are way better than what the Eagles put on the field at this point. And we got a lot of speed back there with Darnell Savage.
Well, yeah, Philadelphia only got out of the East – with their zombie squad because again the Cowboys wet the bed that was the worst division in football. It wasn't even close. It was almost as bad as when the Saints got to the Seahawks got to the playoffs with Hasselbeck at the helm, Marshawn Lynch first year out there, when they were 7-9. I mean, at one point we were considering whether or not the NFC East was going to get a 6-10 team into the playoffs.
Yes. That's what he did.
So, yeah.
I think that this is a game that
and then Seattle beat a team without Carson Wentz for three quarters. I mean, God bless Josh McCown for all of his, you know, journeyman work all over the place, but
everywhere in America. As he works on his goal of playing for all 32 teams.
Right. And he did a good job. I mean, I can't fault him. He did a good job as a backup quarterback. He gave his body up a couple times on some runs, and all I'm thinking is that guy's my age, our age. Just like, oh my God. I can only imagine how bad that's going to hurt in the morning. But I mean, he's not Carson Wentz, and it'd be different if it was a Nick Foles situation where he was coming in there with a stacked team. The Eagles aren't stacked; they are beat up right now. And how old is Fletcher Clark? How old is Fletcher Cox, by the way? It seems like he's been playing for 40 years in the league. I think he played with Reggie White when he was with the Eagles. I swear to God. He's been there forever.
I guarantee you that's not correct, but
he was teammates with Donovan McNabb.
He's 29. Sure.
God, doesn't it feel like he's been there forever?
He's been there for a while. He's born in December 13th, 1990. He's from Yazoo City, Missouri. Or Mississippi. Mississippi, sorry.
Yazoo City,
Mississippi.
Yazoo. Yeah. Is that by Ooh La La?
That's in Louisiana.
I know, but that's just next state over. I mean,
that's can't like be that far, right?
Hudson's by the Twin Cities. I mean, they're in different states.
Sure.
Anyhow.
Well, I just got asked if Stevens Point was near Milwaukee because I go somebody said, like, I was talking to I don't know, some group trying to advertise something with me and my law firm. And they're like, yeah, well, you guys, do you ever get to Fond du Lac? I'm like, yeah, I go to Fond du Lac some. They're like, oh, so you're over near Chicago? I was like, no, not at all. I was like, that's like, first off, Fond du Lac's like 2 hours from me. And then it's going to be a little ways. It's several hours away from Chicago. He's like, oh, really? Oh, I'm from Chicago area. And I had a buddy who, man, he used to come from Fond du Lac a lot. I just figured it was close. I was like, are you kidding me? No.
Okay. So when I first, I want to make a graphic design someday of how people think the state of Wisconsin looks like. So when I first got hired down here to Janesville, which is geographically, for anybody who doesn't know, is 30 minutes south of Madison, and I am actually an hour and a half away from Chicago. So I first got hired down here. I was working up in Superior, Wisconsin. And I had to leave my family up there at first while we were selling our houses and moving everything else like that. And I had someone at state level tell me when I moved down here, I moved to the 132, and one of my sister companies is in Neillsville, Wisconsin, which is up by Eau Claire, which is in the northern third of the state. But it's still on the highway that goes from the Twin Cities to Green Bay, right? Yeah. And they said to me with a straight face, well, you can work out of Neillsville, right? You could at least commute. I mean, that's in the same battalion, and then you could commute to work every day. I'm like, Neillsville is 3.5 hours away from Superior. And they're like, oh, well, Superior is just like half an hour north of Eau Claire, right? No, it is not. Bloomer is half an hour north of Eau Claire. And then it's another 2 hours to Duluth after that. I'm like, are you serious? Where do you think Superior is? And I like pulled up Google Maps, and they're like, oh wow, Superior is way up there. And I'm like, yeah. I'm like, how far away do you think Wausau is? And they're like, well, that's just like an hour up the road. No, Portage is an hour up the road. And I love that when you get to Portage, it says, welcome to the north. And it's like
the city of Portage?
Yes, the city of Portage.
Oh no, not at all.
Yeah. No. There's still 5 hours north of there. Anyways.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I had a buddy in law school. I love the guy. But when he says, like, oh, yeah, my dad has a cabin up north. I'm like, where? He's like, Adams. I'm like, that's a half hour south of where I grew up. Nobody there thought we were north. Nobody there thought we were north. Mm-hmm. We were central.
No, I've ran into a number of people here in Janesville that are like, yeah, we got cabins up north. Like, well, where? Where up north?
And Geneva.
Like, Lodi.
Oh, geez.
And I was like, oh, my God. Lodi's just on the other side of Madison.
Yeah.
You know,
welcome to our new geographical section of the Scotty and Johnny podcast.
You keep driving for another 4.5 hours. You get to Minnesota, and then Canada's another few hours after that.
All right. We'll head back to the 35 square miles surrounded by reality, which is Madison, as we talk about the Badger basketball team here, though. And I'll tell you, they surprised just the bejesus out of me this week. Did you see it, Aaron? Did you watch this? It's the craziest game ever.
No.
The Badgers beat number 5 Ohio State in Columbus.
What?
Badger men's basketball beat Ohio State in Columbus, the 5th-ranked Ohio State Buckeyes. Okay. It's crazy. They have now had 3 games since Micah Potter came back. They are undefeated in those 3 games. I mean,
well, and Micah Potter came from Ohio State, right?
He did.
So that's some extra motivation too. So
yeah. You hope. I mean, he wasn't the leading scorer. He wasn't the big thing in this game, but
right.
I mean, he's a guy off the bench who's doing something for him and making things happen, and at least, you know, an available body, if nothing else, right?
Right.
But yeah, I mean, the biggest thing, and I'll tell you this, if you'd have told me that the Badgers beat Ohio State, and at the end of the day, I double checked this, but I mean, I think Trice only had 4 points. To look it up again. No, he had 6 points for Demetric Trice. If you'd have told me Demetric Trice had 6 points against Ohio State, it said like, wow, we're getting just beat, aren't we?
Yeah.
But Reavers had 17, and King, Kobe King and Nate Reavers have just been solid. King took a little bit to get going, but he's been very good this year. He's been the leading scorer in a lot of games. Reavers has been consistent. He's been exactly what you needed. I mean, I guess he got 17 points shooting 3 of 12 from the field. But still, he got his points. And the big one is Wall has been playing incredible defense to really shore up this game here. He is a freshman. He's a true freshman. Lakeville, Minnesota. As we continue to take all the talent from Minnesota and then send them back their you know, graduated recruit, you know, people after they're done with college back to the Twin Cities so that we can fill the Twin Cities with Badgers fans. But right. He's a 6'7" freshman from Lakeville, Minnesota, and he's been playing great. I mean, he's coming off the bench a bit too, but having Wall and Potter and Pritzel coming off the bench has been just great for this Badgers team, being able to keep them in games. I mean, they beat them 61-57. I mean, that's, you didn't expect that. Nobody expected that. You couldn't have expected that. I wouldn't have put money on that game. I wouldn't have put your money on that game.
Right, exactly. No, this is the Wisconsin that beat Marquette and then lost to Richmond a week later.
The Spiders.
The Richmond Spiders and then New Mexico a couple days after that. Back-to-back days, actually. Yeah. I lost to NC State and then since Indiana. Well, no, and then they lost Rutgers. And they beat Milwaukee.
Yeah, the Rutgers one is the weird one now. It looks so strange where you're like, yeah, we beat Indiana and Ohio State. Yeah. And then we lost to Rutgers. You're like, are you kidding me?
Beat Indiana at home. Then, I mean, Tennessee is nothing right now, but they went to Tennessee and won. And they really knocked off Ryder. And then, yeah, that's the last one I was tracking, Ryder. And then, yeah, and then they go and beat Ohio State. Jeez.
And then they get to come home. They get one game against Illinois. And I'd project that they'd win that one, right?
Right.
And then they get to go to Penn State, and
the last time we projected Wisconsin to beat Illinois, we were
yes,
we were wrong.
We're going to leave that raw, but we projected them to lose to Ohio State in every football game they played against Ohio State this year, and it didn't stop them from beating them in basketball. But yeah, no, I think they should be.
Yeah, they got to play. They got to play after Illinois. They play number 20 Penn State, number 12 Maryland
at home,
and then
number 8 Michigan State
on the road. So, I mean, heck, if they pull 2 out of 3 out of those games, I mean, you're going to talk about tournament at that point, right?
Yeah, at that point, I think you say, yeah, this is a team that's going to finish top 6 in the Big Ten if they can win 2 of those 3, and I don't mean Illinois. Like you said, 2 of those 3, meaning Penn State, Maryland, Michigan State. Yeah, that would be a great stretch if they could do that, because then they get to go play Nebraska ball and Purdue and Iowa to end out the month. Mm-hmm. And that's going to get to be a bit of a rough stretch, obviously. But if they can play like this, if they can put guys on the court and they can get enough shots and they can play enough defense, their defense has massively improved. The idea is additionally that Greg Gard has taken these same players and made them better over the course of the season as they have gotten through. And by the way, that's what Izzo does. Izzo plays everybody tough, which is why he starts off ranked really high, always drops into like the mid-teens or something during the year. And then he explodes, and that team becomes something more impressive as the season goes on, because he's always far more ready for the end of the season than anything else. And that team plays through adversity and learns and gets coached all year long. Greg Gard has done a very good job of coaching this team. And I'll tell you, they lost some people, and I didn't see a lot coming from Demetric Trice. And I'll say you got to put that on Gard too, that Trice has not gotten particularly better as a player while being a member of the Wisconsin Badgers. I'd say he doesn't look as good as he did 2 years ago. But still, I mean, he had some injuries in there. But at the end of the day, you still have to say that he has coached a lot of these players, and he has gotten a lot of recruits in here, and it's looked good. Man, I'll tell you, Badger football and Badger basketball have been recruiting at a level that I have not seen in my lifetime over the last probably 5 years here. They have been pulling in guys that you would not expect. Badgers have one of the top 10 recruiting classes in the country next year. It's crazy to think about for basketball. We've never done that.
Right.
And to see the Badgers now being a top 25 recruiting class in football, when we have been a top 25 team with, you know, recruiting classes ranked in the 40s for years. Mm-hmm. And now all of a sudden we've got, I mean, like I said, it looks like 23-25 is the ranking for the Badgers recruiting class for next year at this point. And, I mean, and it's a ranking. It's not, it doesn't actually mean anything. It's people's guesses. But still, man, these two programs really pulling in people who are going to get a lot of things done and are really looking to just improve the amount of talent that these teams have. And Guard looks like he's been coaching a lot of these guys who have been having troubles to start the year to being better players as we go.
No, I would agree. Yeah. I mean, obviously they're a whole lot better than the team that lost to the Richmond Spiders.
Yeah.
You know, so yes. There you go. I mean, it's, yeah. And side note, Tom Izzo, the only thing I like about Michigan State at all. So
yeah, he's a Youper, right, though. He's not a real Michigander.
Right. He's the rest of that university can burn to the ground. So
true. After everything that happened there, they should have gotten a death penalty. Right. In other Wisconsin basketball, though, there is still Marquette. And Marquette did, you know, they had a disappointing loss at Creighton. I think, well, I'm trying to remember if they were at Creighton or at home. Either way, they lost.
The Pride of Omaha.
Yeah, Omaha, 92-75. Homer True, Homer from Gabe and Homer, then was it Milwaukee radio there. He was talking about, and he does call, Homer calls the Steve the Homer True. He calls the Marquette games, and he was talking about how they that this is one of the better Creighton teams that they've had in several years. But still, the best one they've had that didn't have the coach's son on it. but yeah, they came back off of that loss and beat the number 10 team in the country. They beat Villanova 71-60. So I mean, Marquette, they're gonna keep you guessing. They've got some offensive ability, that's for sure, and they're going to be up and down in that Big East a little bit here. So it's going to be interesting to see. And, you know, I'd still love to see two tournament teams from this state. It's still up there. It's still possible. Neither team's ranked right now, nor really particularly should they be, you know, in all honesty.
Hey, so has Green Bay, Milwaukee, Marquette, and Wisconsin ever been in the tournament at the same time?
You know, I don't know.
I know. I want to say Marquette, Green Bay, and Wisconsin were all in one tournament.
That might have been. Marquette, Milwaukee, and Madison definitely were.
Okay.
I'm trying to think if Marquette was in the one, because there were 2 years in a row, I think, where Green Bay went and got in. They got to Sweet 16 with Tony Bennett, the head coach of Virginia, played at Green Bay. But I can't remember if Marquette was in that tournament or not because we were all in middle school.
Yeah.
By we all, I don't mean you, me, and all of our listeners. Just you and me.
And the Russian bots.
And the Russian bots who follow us. Not my dad, though. My brother was, but only one of the two. But anyhow. The only other thing we'll say here in our main event is there is one tiny piece of Brewers news. It looks like Eric Thames has signed with the Washington Nationals.
He gone.
That's too bad. Loved seeing him, but that's the last we have on that. And we will, with that, move on to our last call.
Time to look around and get your bearings. It's time for the last call.
All right, Aaron. So with the last call, the first couple things I wanted to start with are hockey. There wasn't a whole lot in terms of
hockey.
Yeah, college hockey.
College hockey.
UW men played a scrimmage, essentially, like an exhibition match, we'll say. An exhibition against the under-18 juniors team, for the U.S. juniors team, the developmental under-18 team.
They said didn't it lose like this year, did they?
No, they won 3-2.
They won. They lost last year, right? Wasn't that the deal?
They did, but then they took the two best players from that team onto our current team, including Cole Caulfield.
That just popped into my head. Yeah, I was like,
that team was crazy good last year. You have to remember. I mean, like, it's a bunch of, you know, 17-year-olds, but they are an all-star team.
Oh, and hockey's a weird thing too, because not everybody goes to college. Some played. Go to the 18 team. Some go to juniors. You know, I get it. But it was just, I just remember that last year. Like, okay.
Same team beat UMD though.
Yeah,
remember that team beat UMD. That was a very good team. And then we took the two best players from that team and put them on the Badgers.
John. Side note: I'm going to let you get back to this one, but so. So just before the Packer game, Star Tribune had top five moments, Minnesota sports moments of the decade, and one was Aaron Rodgers getting injured.
Yep.
And
we all saw that.
Someone brought up, what about UMD winning 3 national championships in hockey in the last decade? And yes. I was like, that is a great point, actually. Like, yeah, how come nobody recognizes UMD as what they are? They won 1/3 of the national championships in the last decade. Was, continuing back to the Badgers,
Star Trib. They're gonna, Fisher Appliance Factory. They're gonna, West. Yeah. Yeah, West. They're definitely just gonna be Twin City centric because they had the WNBA titles. They had the Minneapolis Miracle. They had going to a bowl game and something else. Yeah, I remember those ones.
In this season for the Twins as the Bombers. What do they call themselves?
Something like that, though.
The Bambino, not the Bambino, something like that. But the team that got swept by the Yankees in the first round. Let's just completely forget about UMD winning 3 national championships in hockey.
Yep. Yeah.
God, Minnesota's the worst. Yeah. I gave them credit less than 20 minutes ago, and now they can all die. Just
jeez,
you're the worst. You're the worst. Top 5 moment: Aaron Rodgers getting injured in a game, not even a playoff game. That's how rent-free Packer fans are in Vikings. You know what? I hope they beat the 49ers. And you know what? I hope they come to Lambeau Field, and I hope they win a game. I hope the Packers win the game with a ton of bad referee calls and a field goal at the end.
I don't even know how to deal with that.
As time runs out. Jeez. After your kickers missed 2 of them, and you still had the chance in the game, and you just I hope it's gut-wrenching, you pukes. Sorry.
Jeez.
Back to Badger hockey, John.
All right, everybody. All right. Badger women beat Northeastern and then Robert Morris to win the Battle of the Burg, which I assume is Pittsburgh because it's a B-U-R-G-H. So, yeah, they get to come home with a trophy, which is nice. Sweet. And they retain the number one ranking in women's hockey right now for D1. Of course, what matters in D3 hockey, not a lot of games going on in the WEAC, but UW Superior Yellow Jackets did beat Northland College in what is a truly great rivalry in D3 hockey.
They play each other every week. I'm pretty sure it's every other game.
It's the closest travel. They can just walk there.
Just like, you know what? We're not driving down to Eau Claire anymore because Eau Claire is 3 hours away. We're just in the cities are 3 hours away. We're just going to play Northland. Northland.
They're right there. Go down to
Ashland. You know what? The rest of the conference is going, yeah, you guys just keep playing each other. We don't want to drive up there either.
Yeah, much of the rest of the WEAC will be starting up next week after we get through the, as they start all coming back from their breaks. The other things I'll say is, in my last call, I wanted to point out, good luck to all the guys going out into the NBA or NFL and leaving college football behind. It's just good luck for everything you've had. It's been good times. I never begrudge people leaving early to go into playing in the NFL. Quintus Cephas, Jonathan Taylor. We saw Tua Tagovailoa, say that one 10 times fast, going off today when we record this on Monday, and a lot of other players leaving early. Good luck to a lot of these guys. I hope you have good luck and success playing in the game. But, I never want to see those crazy fans who then start yelling at these people online. Then the way that they yell at the people after National Signing Day for going to the wrong school or whatever. It's like, you know what? People make all their decisions they want. And as angry as you want to be at people for making decisions in their lives, just you kind of got to get over it. You just do. And, good luck to all those guys going to the NFL.
Absolutely.
The one other thing I do want to bring up this week, which was a tiny little story this week. I don't know how tiny it was. It involved Richard Sherman. So it was interesting, if nothing else. Richard Sherman, as they say, kept the receipts from everybody who said that he was stupid to negotiate his own contract. Mm-hmm. Now, he negotiated a contract that basically paid him very low, like not worth what he played for. But then he had a ton of incentives in the deal. And he's like, look, I'm super smart now. I made all these incentives. It's kind of like the guy who maybe, I don't know, I'll take a hypothetical that I can't imagine happen, took his big wheels as a kid and rode it off a retaining wall and then managed to survive, maybe get a concussion, who knows? But that doesn't mean it was a good idea because you survived it, does it?
Right.
No. You're saying that the end result of Richard Sherman creating what is a dumb contract? It is a dumb contract. He should never have done that. He should have first off had an agent. Because and that's not saying that he's dumb. Richard Sherman is an incredibly smart person. I've never said otherwise.
Right.
I said he's a jerk because he's a jerk and he treats people like trash.
We've had that out, and actually I'm more on your side now than I was 5 years ago. So because he's gotten worse with age, but yes.
Yeah, I don't think he's dumb. I think he's incredibly intelligent. Mm-hmm. But I think he's a jerk. Here's the thing. Just because you're smart doesn't mean you can do everything. Like, I deal with a lot of people as a lawyer who are incredibly intelligent people. You know, maybe they're incredibly well, you know, like people who are great and they work in computers, or you know, like, and they're high up and they tell other people how to work in computers, or the people who are like heads of some sort of surgical unit or something. And that's great. And they're like, well, I could probably do my own divorce. You're like, no, you can't. No, you're an idiot. You shouldn't do that.
It's like, you're good at one thing.
I was like, first off, you're emotionally connected to it. And second off, you have never done this. Stop acting like it's easy. I have a degree in this. Like, I went to school to learn how to do this. I spent 3 years learning how to do this.
That's like those commercials that were popping up during the football games this weekend about how incredibly smart people can't do their own taxes. Well, yeah, because you do them once a year, and they're incredibly hard. So you go pay somebody to do your taxes.
Right.
Because that's all they do.
The idea that Richard Sherman, because he's smart, worked out a great deal, you're like, nope, that doesn't mean you actually know how to work out deals. It just means you're smart. That doesn't mean that you understand the verbiage of contract negotiations. You've never done it before. And you're a great cornerback, and you've been great for years. You weren't as great this year as you should not have been an All-Pro.
No.
But he was very good. He was very good. He belongs starting. He could start on any team in the NFL, basically. But he wasn't an All-Pro. Well, he was, but he should not have been. But either way, the idea that because you managed to hit your goals means that it was a super smart contract is stupid.
Right.
Whether or not you hit your goals, it was a dumb contract. If you'd have gotten paid, you know, and you said like, "Hey, I got this super contract. I got all guaranteed money," and you know, then it ends up that, you know, you underplayed it, then you really won. But all you did was you guaranteed that you had to meet certain goals for the owner to pay you anything.
Right.
Come on. You gave the owner everything they wanted. They're like, they'll only pay you if you're great. You're like, hey, you met your goals. Like, all you did was play right into the owner's hands. You should have done that. And the Players Association should be rightfully upset with you for having done that.
And you know who's really smart? Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
He tricked the Vikings into paying him $84 million no matter what.
So when they go on KFan on the wine line after the game and they're like, man, we should get rid of Cousins. You're like, you can't. You got a whole other year of him.
You can't.
Because you already paid for next year.
It's like I gave Minnesota its due and then I trashed them and then I'm not going to come back. We're not going to go full 360 on this one. I was okay with Cousins winning because it's just a sin that Cousins has to play for the Vikings. I look at him as a player, and I felt for him in Washington because I think he was treated pretty badly out there. And I wish he would have just landed on any other team. And
like the Niners.
Like the Niners. And it was nice to see him win a game. But, talk about super smart. Yeah. How about $84 million? All of it guaranteed to play for 3 years. That's called winning, you know.
Except for the league. If you're in the Players Association, you're like, that was our first guaranteed contract, and that's the guy who got it. Mm-hmm. Then you're like, man, we are never going to see that again because the Vikings are stuck to that. A reminder that according to Over the Cap, the Vikings for next year are currently $6 million over the cap.
Right.
So unless they start cutting a ton of people – or changing contracts, the Vikings will be over the cap and can't sign their rookies. They're going to have to restructure and fire a lot of people. It's going to be fun.
Anyways, is it my turn for last take? Or
go right ahead.
Okay, I'll make it quick. We have to mention them. We've pretty much written off that we're not going to talk about much about the Bucks until after football season because it's the NBA regular season. But the Bucks continue to steamroll along. They did lose tonight to the Spurs. I told John during the pre-show that it Spurs Popovich pretty much just pulling a Belichick. You know, even if the team's bad, we're still going to pull one out every once in a while. You know, and Popovich did that, you know. And so they beat the Bucks tonight 126-104. The Bucks continue their 100-point streak, which goes back to – they scored 100 points in every game back to – it's ridiculous.
Yeah, they've been great.
Back to – I'm just scrolling up right now. I can't see the last time they only scored double digits. Anyways, it goes – I think it's been the whole season, actually, to be perfectly honest. Prove me wrong. And they're still number one in the East. They're 5 games up on the Celtics. Still have the best record. I love it. I love the bit where they do the pro wrestling stuff before games. Like, this team's fast.
Yes.
This team's fast and loose, and I like them. They're good teammates. It's a fun team to watch, and it's a special team to watch. I wish that the ticket prices weren't commiserate with with how good they've gotten, because I would love to take my family to go see them. But that's about $400 now for a family of four. John, that's like $3,000 for you guys. But that might be bad. That might be bad math, but I'm not sure. So the Bucks are great. And as we promised on this podcast, once football season's over and we're in the lurch of mid college basketball and nothing else going on, we'll break it down a little bit further, and I'll do a better job of breaking down NBA stuff. But right now, I'm so with the Rose Bowl last week and the Packers being in the playoffs again for the first time in 3 years, and having a pretty big interest in what's going on with all the other teams. Having God, the Bills, they should have won. They should have beat the Texans, which would have meant every road team would have won on wild card weekend. With the AFC now, with Brady getting knocked out, and
nobody called that.
No, not a chance. Did you call that?
In fairness, I said that I didn't think they'd make the AFC title game. I didn't say right. I thought the Titans had a really good chance at this. I actually, in my pick'em though, if you check my Facebook or my Twitter, you can see I picked the Patriots to win that. But I picked the Titans on the spread, I believe.
Okay.
Double check it though.
And I did the old until further notice, I'm going to take the Patriots, because if someone would have been smart betting them in the playoffs, $100 a game for the last 2 decades, they'd be a millionaire. But so I didn't see that one coming. But the AFC's got their most seasoned quarterback for playoffs right now is Mahomes, I think.
That might be true.
And in the NFC, the most seasoned quarterback is Aaron Rodgers, and then not much else. I mean, it's a big changing of the guard. Aaron Rodgers is now the old man quarterback in the league. I mean, with Breeze out, with Brady out, it's Rodgers, Cousins, Garoppolo, who's never played a playoff game, and Russell Wilson's pretty seasoned too. So at this point, even though he's only, what, 29, 30? I'm
not sure, I guess.
Maybe. So, you know, it's a very interesting playoffs. The fact that it could potentially be Garoppolo versus Jackson in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Two guys who are in the playoffs for the first time. That's crazy. Yeah. So, I promise I'll get more back into the NBA after this, and I will be gone the next 2 weeks. I've talked to John about this already, about getting some guests in here. I don't know what my availability is going to be the next 2 weeks. I apologize for that, John, but you know how it works. So,
yeah.
Good show. I enjoyed this one. We haven't had a really good, high amount of just tangent army stuff in a while, so that was pretty good.
That's always one thing.
Yeah.
Anyhow, thank you everybody for joining us. Sure, the one other thing we should mention is Mike McCarthy is now the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
I'm all right with him doing that, whatever. I'm going to root against the Cowboys just because that's just what I'm going to do. Not against him, though.
Right. He can make an ass out of himself at his stumps, at his he can make an ass out of himself at his son's stepson's basketball games in Dallas now. There we go.
All right. Anyhow, thank you again for joining us this week. It's been another fun week in Wisconsin sports. Hopefully we'll have you back here next week, and you can follow the show, of course, at Scotty Johnny Pod. You can follow me at Not So Humble Host, and you can follow Aaron at Cheddar Talk. You can find us on our Facebook page and usually get something up on our website at ScottyJohnny.com as well, if we remember, basically. But anyhow, remember, whether you are on the town or on the go, it is always on Wisconsin.
You know what, Minnesota? Just sit down.
This has been the Scotty Johnny Podcast. Remember to find the boys on Twitter at ScottyJohnny1 or online at ScottyJohnny.com. Thanks for listening.